So the name of the paper is Cliffhanger. This is joint work with Asaf Eisenman and Sachin Kadi from Stanford and Mohammad Ali Zadeh from MIT. So memory caches are really becoming the backbone of performance for web applications. Pretty much any major web application that you've ever encountered is heavily reliant on these memory caches. And really what's kind of driving performance is the hit rate of these caches. So Memcached is the most widely used cache in large settings. And even small improvements to the hit rate of Memcached can make a really big difference in terms of speed up. So for example, if you look at kind of one of the clusters at Facebook, a 1% cache hit rate increase can increase the end-to-end performance of a single request by 35%. And this is really due to the really kind of orders of magnitude difference between hitting an in-memory cache and going to the database to fetch a value. Now, unfortunately, memory caches today are really not optimized for maximizing hit rates. And there's kind of two key reasons. One is that they greedily assign memory both to different applications and to different request sizes within each cache server. And the second is that memory assignment is largely static once it's assigned. So let me kind of explain to you why this happens. So this is kind of a rough picture of Memcached. There's a client and a server, and basically the client issues key value requests into the server. Now, the way Memcached, the server, works is when a new object comes in, basically it allocates, it has a slab allocator, so it allocates a page of memory for that request that is defined with a specific memory size. So for example, so kind of the smallest memory size that would still fit that request into that slab. And then it runs an LRU queue separately for each memory size. So kind of let's go through an example. So let's say an object comes in with 35 bytes and the cache is empty. So the cache will allocate a new page with the smallest slab class for that object, which is 64 bytes. And that object will be inserted at the top of the LRU queue. Now let's say a few more objects come in and they kind of are inserted at the top of the LRU queue. Now let's say a couple more objects come in and they are of different sizes than the first object and they do not fit into the first slab class. So Memcached will basically allocate a new page for each one of these objects and will fit them into separate LRU queues of their own. Let's say a bunch more requests come in and over time the cache fills up until it's completely full. Okay, so at this point, let's say an object comes in, object 9, it'll go to its corresponding LRU queue. In this case, because the object already exists in the cache, it will simply be pushed to the top of the queue. Now, unfortunately, you know, a new object came in, and this object does not exist in the cache. And so at this point, it doesn't exist in the cache, so we need to insert it, but there's no new pages that we can allocate to it. So essentially at this point, the size of the LRU queue for this object is fixed. So you know, it'll have to evict an object from its LRU queue, so it'll evict object number one. And now let's say object number one comes in and you know, unfortunately it was just evicted, so it will cause a new miss in the cache. So you probably already see that there's a couple of problems with this kind of static, greedy cache allocation. So the first problem is that basically greedy allocation naturally will always favor large objects, right? Just because large objects take up more space, they'll naturally occupy more space in the cache, perhaps at the expense of smaller objects if the operator wants to, let's say, maximize hit rate across all objects. The second big problem that occurs is this problem called slab calcification, which means that the kind of the partitioned LRU queues might not be the right or the best size when the workload is changing dynamically over time. So the question is, can we do better? So to answer that question, we gathered a week-long trace from Memcacheer, which is a Memcached as a service provider, and analyzed it. So the most basic analysis that you can do with a cache is to profile its hit rate curve. So the way you profile a hit rate curve is basically you assume that you have an infinite LRU queue, and then you start tracking the positions of hits in that LRU queue. So for example, let's say that, you know, kind of start from time zero, and let's say this is the state of my LRU queue, and an object comes in, and this object is hit has a hit in position number 5. And so we'll start tracking these positions, and these are called stack distances, okay? And basically what these positions mean is that if I have a queue of 5 items or larger, this specific request would have been a hit. Okay, so, you know, the object is will move to the top of the queue. Let's say a new object comes in, and again, it's object 138. So this time, the hit position is going to be 1. So even if I had a queue of just size 1, this would have been a hit. Okay. Now let's say a new object comes in, and it's object 21. And unfortunately, this object has never appeared before in the trace. So this is actually a compulsory miss. And then that's and because of that, the stack distance will be infinite. So no matter how large my cache would be, this would always be a miss. And so then I can basically draw these curves, which give me for every single possible sizes of the cache, the hit rate that it would get at that size. And I can draw these curves for every single application in the trace and for every slab class, individual slab class of every single application in the trace. And then I can start optimizing across these hit rate curves. So the straw man approach to optimizing these curves would simply be to run a convex solver. Okay, and so what you can do is you can try, for example, to maximize the total hit rate. So let's say in this example, we treat all objects as one hit, and we just want to maximize the total number of hits. So you'd maximize over the hit rate curves of each one of the queues, subject to a certain amount of memory that you allocate to all of the queues. The output of this type of solver would be something like this. It would tell you, for this queue, you need to allocate these number of objects, these number of items, and for that queue, you need to allocate a different number of objects. So you can do this. The problem is that there's a few problems with this. So first of all, it's expensive, right? So this requires you to know the entire hit rate curve of every single application, every single slab class, which is expensive, and it's also kind of hard to do accurately. So it's, you know, you need to gather a lot of data to make sure that these curves are accurate. Another problem is you need to run a centralized solver, which is kind of a bummer in a production system. And in general, the solver is static, so it's not clear, you know, you may have optimized for a certain point in time, but it's not clear when you need to run it again. So in our work, we kind of propose an incremental approach. So instead of trying to optimize based on the knowledge of the entire hit rate curve, what we do is we, at every kind of single working point of every single queue, we optimize incrementally. So we basically try to estimate the local gradient of each hit rate curve and then assign memory based on the local gradient. So how do we do that? So imagine you have multiple queues. In this case, we have 2. And now I need to figure out how much memory we need to allocate to each one. What's kind of the optimal amount of memory that we need to allocate to each one of these queues? So we use a really simple kind of construct, which is called a shadow queue. And a shadow queue is just like a normal queue. The only difference is that it only holds the keys and not the values of the object. And we append the shadow queue at the end of the physical queue. So objects that are evicted from the physical queue are evicted into the shadow queue. And basically, what we do is we use the number of hits in the shadow queue as kind of an indication of the gradient of the hit rate curve and which queue we need to add memory to, and we tally these hits in terms of credits. So let me kind of run you through how this works. So these are 2 queues, and a new object comes in, object 23. This object goes to Q1. It doesn't exist in Q1, so it'll be a miss. It will go to the top of the queue, and it will evict item 22 into the shadow queue. So it'll strip the value from that object and just store its key. Now let's say object 22 comes into the cache. So in this case, it will still be a miss in the physical queue, so the value is not there, but it will be a hit in the shadow queue. And we'll add a credit to queue number 1 and subtract a credit randomly from one of the other queues, in this case, queue number 2. Okay. So let's say a new object comes in, object 1, and again, it's going to be a hit in the shadow queue. Now, at some point, we set a threshold where basically the we assign at that threshold, we take away memory from an object from a queue that has a small number of credits and give it to the queue that hit that threshold. And so we resize the queues, and queue number one will get incrementally more memory than queue number two. And so this is kind of the first algorithm we introduced in the paper. It's called the hill climbing algorithm. It's really simple. It simply just tracks hits into the shadow queue and assigns memory to those queues when it reaches a certain threshold. And it turns out that this kind of really simple algorithm is actually in when the hit rate curves are nice and concave, and let's remember that, it will actually converge to the same optimization problem that I showed you earlier, where the rate, we're kind of at the optimality point, the rate of adding memory to the queue and the rate of subtracting memory to the queue is going to be equal. This is actually the exact optimality condition of the optimization function I showed you earlier. Okay, so let's say, so now this is kind of an example of running this algorithm in practice on one of the applications of the trace. So what you see here is kind of on the y-axis, the amount of memory that we allocate to the different slab classes. And so what you can, and the x is time. And so what you can see is over time, basically we take away memory from some of the slab classes that were over-provisioned. And there's some slab classes where they go up and down over time, so their memory allocation changes dynamically. Now, you know, everything I said so far works really nicely as long as the hit rate curves are concave. And unfortunately, that's not always true in reality. So about a third of the applications in the traces actually have performance cliffs, which are regions in the hit rate curve that are convex and not concave. And these are just two examples of such performance cliffs. So in order to tackle performance cliffs, we're inspired actually by a great work that was published in HPCA from MIT last year called Talus, which allows you to trace the concave hole across in a CPU cache between kind of every 2 points in this hit rate curve. And so we took some of these ideas and applied them into this world of memory caches. And so here's kind of the general idea how this works. So imagine we're now on this hit rate curve, the blue hit rate curve, and we're with 8,000 items allocated. And this is our hit rate, okay, the blue dot. So the idea behind Talus is that you can actually partition your queue into two. And by carefully kind of choosing the size of these two partitions, and by carefully kind of assigning a fraction of your requests to each one of these partitions, you can actually simulate two larger queues. So a queue that is going to be a size of 13,000 items and a queue that is the size of 2,000 items. And then you can achieve this concave hull by an interpolation of these two virtual queues. And so basically what this lets you do is get the hit rate now on this concave hull. So this kind of leads us to the second algorithm that we use, which is called cliff scaling. And so Talus actually assumed that you have still this global knowledge of the entire hit rate curve. So you know where the performance cliff starts and ends. Unfortunately, again, this knowledge, we don't assume that this knowledge is available in memory caches. And so we introduced a novel approach which locally estimates where the performance cliff starts and ends. And the way we do that is using shadow queues. And so I won't have time to go into the exact details, but basically we kind of try to look incrementally at where the convex region of the graph starts and ends, and we basically use it with two small shadow queues and kind of track the hits on both of them to estimate the second derivative. So cliffhanger is basically a combination of both of these algorithms. It employs the hill climbing algorithms to incrementally optimize memory across different queues. It can be run across multiple slab classes within a single application or across applications if you're trying to optimize across multiple applications. And the second algorithm, the cliff scaling algorithms, helps you achieve the concave hull and kind of make the graphs concave when you encounter performance cliffs. So let me show you how these algorithms perform in practice. On the x-axis here, we plotted the top 20 applications in the memcache trace. And the green bars are the number of misses that Cliffhanger reduced. So on average, we reduced 36.7% of misses. And there's some applications where the number of misses that we reduced was over 60%. In terms of memory savings, so with Cliffhanger, you can actually use virtually almost half of the memory that you would use to get the same hit rate as the default hit rate policy of Memcached. In terms of absolute hit rates, it's a little bit harder to see, but basically the average hit rate increase is 1.2%. And I'd like to stress out that this is actually a really big increase, especially when you're operating at applications that already have a high hit rate. In terms of overheads, the overheads are pretty minimal. The latency overhead is really small. It's only when you get a cache miss because you have this extra shadow queue. And the memory overhead is only 500 kilobytes or less for each application that we optimize for. So that's it. Happy to take questions. Thank you.
Yeah, very interesting work. Could you please, so what kind of workload popularity distribution result in, you know, these cliffs that aren't locally, they aren't probably ZIF, right? So what are they?
Yeah, so it typically these kind of cliffs occur when you have long sequential accesses that don't fit into in an LRU queue that where the LRU queue doesn't kind of capture the entire sequence. So we go into a few examples in the paper.
Are they common in real-world workloads, or are they rare?
Yeah, I mean, about a third of the traces that we had some form of cliff. Some of them are more severe than others, but they're pretty common. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. Masoud Moshe from USC. So do you, for the incremental allocation, do you use fixed step size? Is that a fixed step for exchanging resources between slabs?
Yes, exactly.
So how do you make sure that it converts fast and doesn't oscillate?
Yeah, so I mean, great question. So I mean, when you choose the amount of memory that you need to move around, there is some, you know, if you choose too much memory, it'll oscillate, and if you choose too little memory, it won't be enough. So, you know, we ran it with a few different kind of memory configurations, and basically we found that for these specific applications, it was like 4 kilobyte credits. There might be, you know, difference in other, you know, in other types of traces, you might need to allocate different amounts of memory. But good question.
Hi, Omar Sadek from Facebook. I was wondering, so intuitively, if there are like two cliffs, how does that happen, or because or how long, I guess, is the shadow queue to really see as to do we really know as to what the optimal point actually is going to be?
So that's a great question. So we only handle one cliff. So yeah, so this incremental algorithm, you know, it will always be able to give you the concave hull. So even if you have two cliffs, sometimes the concave hull is still going to be better than the original hit rate. But we only know how to climb a single cliff with our implementation.
Yes, sir. Rachit Agarwal, UC Berkeley. So as I told you already, I like this work a lot. But while you know, this idea of your throughput reaching very close to optimality, I think it had something hidden in terms of optimality, because what you're talking in terms of optimal result is assuming certain number of slabs, right? But if I see the entire Memcached cluster as one single slab, right? If I did not have different slabs for different value sizes, then the optimality will be, the optimal result would be very different. Because right now what you're doing is you're finding local optimum for each of the individual slabs, and that gives you optimality result. The two questions. So have you looked into what would be the optimal result if you had one single slab, or alternatively, how does this optimality result changes once you increase the number of slabs, or how far from optimal do you get once you increase the number of slabs that you have in your...
So I'm not sure what you mean when you say one single slab. You mean like just a global LRU queue?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of these problems would be solved with a global LRU queue, but then you run into other problems like fragmentation and memory cleaning. So that's why these memory caches use multiple slabs typically.
Okay, let's thank the speaker.